possible reasons that Rod Monroe already mentioned for these accidents is the carbon monoxide level of smokers. Carbon monoxide is a poisonous gas. It impairs reflexes and concentration, and of course, in large amounts can lead to death. The carbon monoxide in cigarette smoke replaces up to 12% of the oxygen carried by hemoglobin in the blood. In the laboratory, prolonged exposure to only 10 to 15 parts per million impairs the ability to judge time intervals. At 30 parts per million, vision and physical responses are affected. In a smoky car, levels can exceed 90 parts per million. Lower auto insurance rates for non-smokers would save us money, but another beneficial effect might be that they might serve as a powerful deterrent to teenage smoking. Large numbers of teenagers become regular smokers each year. In 1979, about 12.5% of children aged 15 to 16 were regular smokers. And of boys 17 to 18, 19.3%. And of girls 17 to 18, 26.2%. That's a lot of smokers. The possibility of contracting heart disease or lung cancer may seem remote to a teenage smoker, but the certainty of paying higher auto insurance premiums has immediate consequences. Now, for fire insurance, SB 737 should apply to fire insurance as well as the other types of insurance. Cigarettes are the leading cause of fire in Eugene and are responsible for more than half the fire deaths. And I've brought you figures on that too. I submitted one copy of the figures on fire statistics. Statewide, cigarettes were the third leading cause of all fires in 1980 and the cause of more than half the fire deaths in residential fires. In 1979, 30 out of 52 fire deaths, residential fire deaths in Oregon, were due to careless smokers. And in 1980, 28 out of 47. And as you know, the victims of these tragic fires include people other than the careless smoker who started the fire. And the Oregon Revised Statutes, number 743.624, which deals with fire insurance, states, unless otherwise provided, a company is not liable for loss occurring while the hazard is increased by any means within the control or knowledge of the insured. Now, I don't know what the intent of that was, but the way I interpret that is that if you do something that you know is going to increase the hazard, that you're company isn't liable for the loss. I don't know whether this should apply to this situation or not. Some risk factors presently considered in setting insurance premiums are age and sex, two factors which are beyond the control of most individual policyholders. Smoking is an important risk factor, totally within the individual's control. If an individual chooses to smoke and thus increase his or her risk, the other policyholder should not have to subsidize this risk. Now, some of the arguments that will be used against this are, how do you check whether a person is a smoker or a non-smoker? How can the insurance company determine whether a person who applies for insurance is a smoker or a non-smoker? Well, I asked Farmers Insurance Company how they did this, because they do, in fact, have discounts for non-smokers, which I found out about only 2 days ago. And they said they just ask people whether they have smoked in the last 2 years. And I said, well, how do you know if they're telling the truth? Well, they have other questions that they ask, too, that all of us answer on our insurance applications. How far do we drive our car to work each day, for instance, is one of the things asked of people applying for auto insurance. If you drive your car less than a certain number of miles, you pay a lower premium than if you drive your car more than a certain number of miles. That's something that the insurance company takes your word for. And occasionally, I guess, they do spot checks. Do you garage your car in a garage or on the street at night? There are many questions of that kind that they mostly rely on people's word for. And occasionally, they check up on. The other argument is going to be, well, this is fine. You have all these statistics. Sure, smokers are a higher risk, but why not just let the market determine what the rates will be? Let the companies decide if they want to provide lower rates. Well, that would be fine, but myself, I was unaware that any companies, in fact, did have discounts for non-smokers until 2 days ago, and other people that I've talked to since were quite surprised to find that auto liability and homeowners insurance, that it is possible to get discounts for non-smokers. And in the meantime, all of the non-smokers are subsidizing the smokers, and we're paying really exorbitant insurance rates, I think. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. George? Any questions?
No, you can't argue with your statistics, and what you say is completely true all the way through, I think. But something bothers me, and I guess it's I've been a non-smoker who grew up in a family where we had smokers all around me, and I really didn't like it. I must admit, breathing all the smoke, and I don't think it was good for me, and certainly not good for them. But I have some compassion for them, and I don't particularly, I don't think they were smarter than other people because they're smoking and just had a death wish. That might come from their great intelligence. I think it was a dumb thing to do to get hooked on the habit, but they were hooked, and they couldn't very easily break. My dad finally did after he had emphysema and really needed to break from the habit. But the thing about this just doesn't seem like we have any compassion for those folks. They got enough bad going for them already. We're going to stick them for higher rates and everything else. So maybe this. You know, you say it has a bit of a deterrent effect, and I like that. I think you're right. For kids beginning, they have an automobile, for instance, they pay higher auto insurance. Might have a deterrent effect there, and that's good. But otherwise, it just seems like that it's for us non-smokers trying to get us less expensive premiums and soaking those other folks who've got enough bad going for them anyway. They're going to die quicker than us on the average, and they got all these problems, too much carbon. Clearly, I think the argument that they perhaps create more accidents is an important argument, but it just seems as though there's not compassion in this for them.
Well, are insurance payers supposed to have compassion for the other groups?
Well, they are not. One of the reasons, well, I guess we, in a sense, do. Otherwise, why not single out the overweight folks and say, you know, you're not going to live so long. You probably don't function as well as people who have the right weight level. Single them out and say, you pay more, too.
Well, I think, in fact, that some life insurance policies do charge higher rates to overweight people.
Yeah, but is that compassion?
But they deny coverage.
Who cares? All right, fine. That's just a feeling. Forget it.
Well, I would only answer Senator Trow that I had a similar situation. Both my mother and father smoked. I can remember sitting in cars and rooms. The fact is, I enjoyed that first cigarette in the morning. I remember when I used to be sick, I had to sleep in the bedroom with my parents, and my dad would always light up a Lucky Strike first thing in the morning. And I can remember how good that smelled. And I used to take a deep breath, you know. I was hooked on the stuff, you know, I never did smoke afterwards. But I always thought that first light up in the morning was a great thing. But we're faced, I think, in society with two choices: one of in giving incentives, and the other is in bans or outlawing something. And I think this is the incentive. The incentive, yes, and the carrot rather than the big stick. And
it's a little stick.
Thank you for your courtesy.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Bill Garrison. No, Senator, as Bill comes up here, you know, it's interesting because everyone tells us that to have this nation resolve all of its economic problems and things, that we have to pull together. And it seems like through legislation we separate Americans into all sorts of different classifications, whether it's smokers or drinkers or overweight or whatever we do, and we just seem to departmentalize people in this country, and actually it seems to, what you were saying, to work against the idea that we're a homogeneous group and we're all supposed to be pulling together. in this society. But just a thought. Go ahead. It's Friday.
Yes, go ahead.
Does Senator Powell have a...
No, bill? Senator Powell is going to school.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Gerenstam. I'm representing the Health Insurance Association of America, and I guess I'm sorry to have to state that I'm opposed to the bill. I don't disagree with Ms. Owens' comments as far as her statistics are concerned. I think the industry has recognized that that the smoking, particularly the smoking of cigarettes, has had an effect on health and life. The company that I worked with for many years has had a non-smoker discount for as long as I can remember. There's many, many other companies that have non-smoker discounts. I think that more and more are going to it, but I don't think it should be, again, I don't think it's something that should be mandated. The non-smoker discount is available. It's been available for a long time. I'm sorry that no standard agent had visited Ms. Owens and trying to sell her an insurance policy, so she would have been aware of that.
She's probably not sorry.
Bill, before you go on, the bill speaks specifically, and the amendment is to four. It's life insurance, health insurance, motor vehicle liability policies, and homeowners fire insurance policy. You said the standard has provided that.
In life insurance. I can't speak as to fire insurance or automobile insurance. There's others probably that can. One of the problems that if you were going to consider this bill is the definition of what is a non-smoker. I think that companies who do have a non-smoker discount have different definitions. Standards, as I recall, was if you made a statement that you did not smoke cigarettes for a two-year period, that would qualify you. And of course, we expect our agents who write the insurance policies to inform us if the applicant was a smoker. That's about the only way that you can check it. And of course, this is applying to individual insurance policies. There's no way to control it after the policy is issued, if you issue a policy to a 21-year-old who says he's a non-smoker, and it's a life insurance policy. When he's 23 or 24, when he takes up smoking, for example, there's no way that you can adjust that rate. It's a fixed rate. I also might mention that because smoking does, according to the statistics, shortens one's life expectancy, it means probably then that insurance companies should charge a extra premium to non-smokers when they buy annuities, because then they're going to be living a longer period of time. And of course, you wouldn't want to consider that. And I think
we'd trade that.
You'd trade that.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
No, go ahead.
Do you advertise your non-smoking policy?
Yes. I mean, to the extent that we advertise, Standard doesn't do much advertising.
I've heard Farmers Insurance advertise, I believe. Isn't that correct? Doesn't Farmers have a policy? I've heard their ads, but I've never heard anybody else's ads for non-smokers. They're recognized.
You probably have never heard an ad for Standard Insurance Company. Standard has not done much in the way of advertising on radio or TV. They advertise mostly the agents, that tie an agent with an ad. But as I say, Senator, I don't want to be held to this, but I think at least for 15 years, Standard has had a non-smoker policy.
I don't think people realize. In fact, I didn't realize that anybody had one until I heard the ads for Farmers. I think it's Farmers.
Well, that concludes my testimony.
Senator Trow.
I think when we begin to do all this categorizing for different rates, we're bound to get into this kind of pickle in which people come and and make the same arguments the insurance companies do to justify having these discriminatory rates, and that is that you can find groups of people and you can identify them that don't deserve to pay more because of certain factors that affect them. And, for instance, when the rates vary depending on which region of the state that you live in for car insurance, or whether you're male or female, or whether you're a certain age, and you can use an actuarial discussion and come up statistically and say, well, you know, we can prove that in this area they commit more accidents because it's a metropolitan region, or this age group commits more accidents, or men are more reckless drivers than women. We can prove this, and you use those categories. Same thing can be said about non-smokers. You can prove it for non-smokers. The thing is, it seems like there's so much discrimination in the whole thing, I think we'd be better off if we just didn't do it at all, maybe just for age.
Or at least if it's done, Senator, on a voluntary basis, where a company could market it on his free will without the state mandating that it must be.
Well, I think the companies, if they just didn't do it at all, I think you'd have less dissension about your policies than otherwise. We had this argument last session over those other bills. That was one of your bills, wasn't it, Senator? Or was it? Mays.
Thank you, William.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Bessonette.
I'm Tom Bessonette with Oregon Mutual Insurance Company, appearing in opposition to this bill, even though I am a non-smoker individually. I'm real happy to hear that farmers insurance advertisements are not getting around. We've been concerned about that advertisement, and especially their 25% discount.
Is that what they offer?
They used to offer 15. Now, as I recall, their ad is 25% discount, and it's really...
For non-smokers.
For non-smokers.
They're not getting around, Mr. Chairman. I heard the ad.
Well, the lady who introduced it, Mrs. Owen, said she had not heard the... you have, Senator Wingard. I appreciate that.
Now, what type of insurance do they offer that?
I don't know. Auto insurance primarily is what I have heard that I have listened to. I might add that I recently purchased a great deal of life insurance on myself, and I was able to shop around, and I did shop around, and I received a very substantial discount because I am a non-smoker, and I looked into three different agencies, and each one of them had a non-smoking company. One of them had two of them, and I was able to receive a very, very substantial discount in the liability or my life insurance.
Senator Wingard.
What was the amount of that discount?
Well, let me say it this way. The original policy, if I was a smoker, was $140 a month. I bought for $84 a month, the same amount of coverage.
Same kind of coverage?
Same amount of coverage, yes.
But the same
life insurance, yeah, I mean, it's term insurance.
Term, whatever it
right.
was, it's the same.
Right. But that's by shopping around. Now, I think that's the way this all should be handled, is by allowing or people to shop around. And as I say, I'm really surprised that the commercials that have been going around about smoking and non-smoking hasn't stimulated more people into doing exactly what I did in shopping around a little bit.
Does Oregon Mutual offer?
No, Oregon Mutual does not relate to the statistics that have been shared here at the table as of this time. We are looking at them. We continue to look at what our competition is doing. But as of this date, even though we're the major fire writer in the state of Oregon, we do not feel we can identify specifically those people who do not smoke enough. As an example, the husband smokes, the wife does not. We insure both of them driving the car. Do we give the premium discount or do we not? Or do we fractionize, like you were talking about, the segment of society? Let's assume they have a teenage child that smokes. The mother and father do not smoke. Then do we give the discount or do we say, no, we cannot give the discount because your child is smoking? It has a tendency then to fractionize the insurance buying public, and we don't like that at all.
Tom, do you know yes. any homeowner fire insurance policy or company, I should say, that offers a discount for non-smokers?
Not to my knowledge, but that's no sign that they don't. I have not heard their advertisements, and I do listen to advertisements. I meet monthly with 35 of the managers of the state of Oregon, and no one has ever bragged about giving a smoker's discount on fire insurance.
Well, let me ask you the last one, health insurance. We've covered life and motor vehicle health care policies. To your knowledge, do they offer any types of discounts for non-smokers on that?
I have no knowledge of health insurance.
They do?
Yeah.
Mr. Garrison?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So the one that isn't being offered today voluntarily is homeowner fire on a fire insurance program?
I don't know. I cannot answer that affirmatively or negatively.
Senator
I just
Troll.
Don't know.
Senator yeah. Troll.
Maybe you said this and I just didn't hear you, but if you were selling a policy to somebody and that person didn't smoke, but somebody else in the family did smoke, this would pose a problem, I presume.
That would pose a big problem.
Would you ask, I suppose you'd have to ask the question, does anyone in the house smoke?
Yes, that would be the question. Does anyone in your household smoke? Mm-hmm. Or have they smoked? And then we'd, excuse me, would have to qualify for how many years. And some of the teenagers, I can recall very vividly that my folks did not know that I was smoking when I, in fact, I was smoking.
That's
now,
a hazard, too, isn't it? You probably were smoking in the closet. You could have got the closet.
Speaking now on the positive side of smoking, may I share with you that I used to have extreme earaches when I was a young child, and my dad used to smoke Lucky Strikes, and he'd blow that warm smoke in my ear, and that was the only thing that brought me relief from my earaches.
That's the cause of your great intelligence, too.
I'm a lobbyist. Yeah, I'm intelligent, am I? Okay, basically, I think that, as has already been said, that the private sector should be allowed to flow with what is and is not best for society, and that we are moving in that direction. As we've heard, there is competition in this area, and as we find statistics that... See, remember this, that the insurance industry is handling a fiduciary trust for every policyholder that we have. We have money of theirs that, and we extend coverage for a great financial risk for them. And in this extension, we're going to do the best job that we can. If we move too quickly into other areas on an experimentational basis, we then become shaky financially. And therefore, we do move slowly. There's no doubt about it. But we do move surely. And we have moved a great deal since I got into the insurance business.
Senator Wingard.
Mr. Chairman, I just can't pass it up. You know, the next time somebody asks to blow in their ear, remember it's probably because they have an earache and they don't hear
it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let me talk to you about the homeowner fire insurance, because if I've understood the testimony today, the industry is becoming competitive in the life insurance, the health, and the motor vehicle coverage as far as treating non-smokers different than smokers. The one area that I'm just listening is that homeowners, and I want you to know that I guess about 2 years ago I looked around because I was changing companies at that time, and I didn't have anybody offer me any discount for non-smokers, and there's no one smokes in my house. But let me ask you this: if in fact you provide insurance based upon risk, and the premium is dependent upon risk, that if I had a house and you found out that I stored a 500-gallon tank for gasoline next to my house, I imagine that you're going to look very suspiciously at the premium, or are going to look very carefully at one, covering me, and two, at the premium. And if the statistics that Ms. Owens that brought to us show that in Eugene, on her statistics, that smoker carelessness was the number one cause, and it was 130 of the fires that they covered were from, in their list of 10, smoker's carelessness was 130. The number two one, which was incendiary, was 85. It's obvious that there's a substantial increase in risk of people smoke, that there's going to be a fire in the home. And I can't understand why you haven't moved into that area voluntarily. If you've done it in other areas in the industry, why haven't you recognized the extreme danger that there is home fires with smokers?
One of the reasons, and might be, I'm not saying it's absolute, because you when you're dealing in statistics and in reactions to statistics, you can't deal in absolutes. One of them is that we do have a $100 deductible on a fire policy. Therefore, we're not covering from dollar one. Many of the cigarette fires are less than $100. Some of them are major. I mean, that's a major contributing factor in death. By the way, 75% of the people who are killed are males. I have no idea why that statistic is so high for males, but maybe there's other
in fire deaths?
Yes, according to the state of Oregon. And women, I think, are smoking as much as men are. But apparently they don't do it and fall asleep at the same time. But I think one of the factors is the fact that it is a less than a deductible claim, or the amount is so much less than the major fires, major other causes of fires. Because you've got a burn in the pants, you've got a burn in the cushion of the chair in which they were sleeping. That's it.
Thank you.
I will check for you, Chairman, as to see if there are any companies that are giving discounts to non-smoking families yet.
You know, when you said that about me, this doesn't have anything to do with the bill, and I'm sorry for taking your time, but I just flashed in my mind. You know who Willie Nelson is, the country western singer?
No,
It's Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. I'm a real country western fan, and Willie Nelson used to be an alcoholic, and he's reformed. And the story is that how he reformed is his second wife. Willie came home one night and was drunk, and he gave her some trouble, and he went in on the bed and lay down and fell asleep, and his wife rolled him over and just took the two sheets into the sheets and sold them up, and then took a club and just beat the hell out of him. And I don't know why that flashed in my mind as to why people die, more males die. But Willie hasn't drunk since that day. He's not married to the same woman either. No, he did. He didn't die. I just thought of that. I thought I should. Trivia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Miner. The moral of that story is either sleep in bed with shark sheets or don't go drunk and fall asleep in bed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rudy Miner and I represent Standard Insurance Company. My remarks will be limited to life insurance and disability, since those are the only two products involved that Standard sells. Standard Insurance Company has offered reduced rates for individual life insurance non-smokers for 15 years. We are generally regarded to have been either the second or third major company to do that. Conversely, we have not offered a discount on individual disability income policies. We have seen no economic justification for doing this. We are not aware of studies which show that there is a significant morbidity difference between smokers and non-smokers, as there is in mortality. We believe Standard has enjoyed a competitive advantage because of our non-smoker discount in individual life insurance. It may be that we are a competitive disadvantage in the disability income insurance market, but that's a business decision that we knowingly make, knowing full well that a person can buy from another company if they choose to do so. Those companies that show creativity and take risks, we believe, should be able to maintain their competitive advantage and not have it removed by legislative action. Standard believes that competition should determine rates. If a non-smoker discount is a good idea, competition will force its adoption. This has occurred in life insurance where the statistics are clear. It has not occurred in disability where the evidence does not exist. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Howitt.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Frank Howitt, representing the Insurance Commissioner. I have a few comments on this bill.
Does this bill remind you of any animal in particular?
Senator Wingard has preempted the field this morning.
I don't think the senator was here. Were you here when Frank was testifying?
No.
Well, Frank had a bill, and the last time he describes bills in terms of what type of animals they remind him of. Now we ask him.
Go ahead.
I know, may I just philosophize a moment, Mr. Chairman? I know that hearings don't always deal with the underlying issues on which decisions are made. And sometimes in hearings, the focus gets into certain details of and areas that are greatly interesting to the individual members. And I think sometimes, and I'm not speaking critically, but it's just my observation, sometimes the focus of the discussion is not on really the key principle that is at issue in a bill. And to me, this bill is of much more concern to me than all these mandated health insurance bills, which I don't happen to personally favor, but which are not regulatory issues and on which we don't take a position. This bill gets to the question of whether or not the legislature is going to determine the pricing policies of the insurance companies. And for the most part, the legislature has not done so, and I think properly not done so. Witnesses, Mr. Miner and others, have testified that these pricing decisions are made by insurance companies.
Pass the helmet law again. I don't know if I want to pound them twice.
Okay. Well, we would not, with OM1, we correct that decision so that they do not, we do not require to insure them under the auto policy, and they are not required to carry PIP insurance on motorcycles under OM1 amendments.
Okay. Senator Troll moves that the proposed amendments to Senate Bill 708, which are identified as OM-1, 32081 be amended into Senate Bill 708, and that the amended version of the bill be sent and engrossed and in return to the committee for further hearing. You've heard the motion.
Just one brief.
Yes.
Is this to get away from the stigma of Senate Bill 30?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I just don't want to fill this room up with people myself.
Okay,
that's
but
the motorcycle thing. PIP covers.
This does not put motorcycles under PIP. This takes motorcycles out of PIP.
Okay. My next question is, does this provide protection to the insurance companies retroactive back to the time that the court case was made up to the present moment that this would become law? That was the concern, I believe, of the insurance companies, but the concern of the motorcyclists was that they would be left out from this point forward.
It would not apply to any cause of action until the effective date of the act. So anybody who was injured prior to the effective date of the passage of the bill or the bill becoming law would be covered under the Garrow decision or would have PIP coverage up till this law became effective.
Okay, that's
so it is not retrospective at all, and I certainly want that very clearly identified.
Well, you're going to get a chance to say that again.
Yeah, I wanted to get that in the record.
They're not going to pass it out.
No, but I wanted to clearly get that in the record, what our intent was. Okay.
You've heard the motion.
Okay.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so adopted. Now, I want that sent down at the earliest possible time because I want to get this bill back and get moving on it.
Thank you.
Senate Bill 708 is up, and 507. And Scotty isn't here right now because she's down at another hearing. I'm going to reset that for another hearing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I believe Scotty indicated that she'd like to have this bill tabled. The insurance companies and the financial institutions no longer have an interest in this.
She talked.
If you would be agreeable, I would like to make the motion.
I need the bill. I need the bill as a vehicle.
I'll just take it off the table.
For something else?
Yeah. That's why I need to have it amended. It's going to be.
You want to amend it now?
No. I need it for another bill. I'm just going to leave it. If I can, just leave it there. It's not going to be set up again.
Okay.
We're adjourned.